But this is week number 4 in the conclusion of our series, The Call. And so Ephesians 4:1, here's our series verse. For, and Paul is writing out of jail, and he says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. And so I told you that week one, that just urging you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. And so in week one, we learned that we are called, that every single person is called. And I tell you, you're not here to suck air, right? You're not here just to kind of do some stuff, put out fires and just watch somebody else go make a difference. You are called to make a difference. And I'm not talking to the person to your left, person to your right. You are called to make a difference. God has called every person. If you're still alive, God's got something for you to do. God's got something for you to do to make a difference. So that was week one. If you missed it, you can watch it online. Week two, we got into the faith side of all of this. That we can't always just do what we can do. But we have to link up with a God who can do abundantly more than we can ask or think. That we are called to live in faith. That we are called to live outside of ourselves. That we link with a God who can bless us, who can do more than we can think. He always sometimes gives us more than we can handle, never more than he can. And so we have to have that faith component. So that was in week two. And so then last week, I enjoyed last week, we kind of got into the theological discussion of it, of this whole The Call series. We just looked at the theological side of it, that there is a reward for those who live their lives this way. That there is a judgment seat of Christ, and then when you do get into heaven, that there are things God wants to give to his kids, those who have structured their life in this way, that God wants to give us. So we looked at the theological kind of components of that last week. But then this week, week four, is kind of different than all the other three, because this is a where do we go from here type of sermon. This is a what do we do? And not in a series sense, like next week is at the movies and then we got Christmas, right? And then New Year's and that. That's not what I'm talking about. But where do we, if we've decided that the call is what we're going to answer, if it is a part of our lives, then where do we go from here? What do we do next in our lives? If we've experienced serve day and then we're going to light the night and we're reaching out and we're trying to fulfill the call that God has put on us, what do we do next? Because I really believe God is not seeing the world in terms of how much we're doing superficially as a church. And I say that cautiously. And just understand me, because he's not looking at, well, how many services did you have in a year and how many events did you have or how many small groups and how many of these different things. No, I think he sees the world as lost children and found children, and his eyes are always on the lost ones. And so he needs a conduit. He needs a vehicle to go and reach them. So he's not looking at how much we do just because we're a church and we do those things. But he's looking, okay, how much of a difference are we making to reach the lost? So all of those things are important, but only as they serve to reach the lost. And so that's what I kind of wanted to bring us back to as a church this month, in outreaching and being the hands and the feet of Christ. And I told you, he needs a conduit. He needs a vehicle to do it. And it's always been the local church. Jesus is building a church. And so I want to read it out of Ephesians chapter 2. There's a couple of chapters before our series verse. It says, God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and the prophets, those are the ones that started it all, for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. So God is building the church. He's building it as a place where he can dwell. So our job is not to have events and to have buildings and to have all these different stuff just because that's what we do. That's just, you know, kind of what we do. Our job is to have a place that lost people can come and they can find God. Our job as Christians is to have a place, and it doesn't have to be a church building. It can be your home. It can be your space you have at work around you. We want to build a place that lost people can come and find God. And not only can they find freedom, they say, I can come as I am and I can find freedom, but I can find a place to belong. And so let us be at Victory just a place that people can come and know that I'm not going to find judgment from other Christians. I'm going to find a place that I can be set free. I can find a place that the lost can be found. And then the miracle of it all is in those who were lost, those who were in darkness and were called back out, just like all of us were, can then go and find others who were lost. They also become part of the house. That irrespective of how they got there, he is fitting us in as bricks, as people in the house. So my deepest hope today is that we can, in some way, at the end of this message, in some way you can have a godly sense of, thank you, Jesus, that I can be a part of this. Not a church, but the church. that I can be a part of what you are doing on the earth. That is what the call is all about, being a part of what Jesus is doing in the earth. And I love the fact that we're not only building something, but we're a part of the building itself. And so I thought I would just bring you kind of a simple thought today, just to conclude all of this. And then we're not building something, we are a part of it. And I heard an illustration a while back where there were three guys laying bricks, and a man walked up to him and he asked the first one, "Well, what are you doing?" And the guy said, "Well, I'm laying bricks." And he asked the second man next to him, he said, "Well, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm building a wall." And he went to the third man and said, "Well, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm building a cathedral." All doing the exact same thing, but they had a different perspective of what they were doing. And so my prayer for you this month, my prayer for you this morning, my prayer for you moving forward is that your perspective would change, that you would really see what it is that we are a part of. You would really see what it is that this call that we're answering, how important it is, how it is the difference in our lives, how it is making a difference in our world. And so just a simple thought this morning I want to share with you, just a few minutes, and then a challenge to kind of end up this series. 1 Peter chapter 2. And so he's writing and he says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." So you are living stones. We're not, like I told you, we're not just building something. We are a part of it ourselves. You're living stones built into a holy priesthood. And it's just a fancy way of the Bible saying, right, when you do what you're supposed to do, you're a priest at it. When you answer the call and you do what God is calling you to do to make a difference, now you become a priest in this royal priesthood. And so if you're swinging a hammer at Serve Day yesterday, or you're delivering groceries, or you're reaching out and cutting down a tree and helping people, or playing with kids, or whatever it is you were doing yesterday, you are a priest of that. And when you're in kid zone, right, and you're saying with a 6-year-old boy or 6-year-old boy, can I just pray with you? Or a little girl, can I pray with you? Can I just help you with something? Or do you need anything you need to talk about? You're a priest in that. Amen. Even if you're prepping the coffee for Sunday morning, amen, right? You're a priest in that, all right? Amen, somebody, we got more. Right? If you're leading a small group, you're a priest. You understand what I'm saying? You're a priest in what God has called you to do to make a difference. Always tied with eternity, always tied, but you're a priest being fitted into the house. And I want you to look then, we're a brick or a stone wall, we're being fitted in as living stones, but I want you to look at this last phrase, because this is where the challenge is for today, or where I kind of want to go, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so we're a brick or a stone in the wall, we're being made into living stones in this house, but we're offering sacrifices to God that are acceptable to Him. And so we're thinking through, and this is where I kind of want to draw our focus, we're being very intentional about that sacrifice that we're offering. So it's not just some random thing like, "Here you go, Jesus, you know, here I just, whatever I got left, I'm just kind of tossing up to you." We're being intentional about what we offer to God in the hopes that it will be acceptable to our God. I was thinking, reading through the Old Testament, how intentional they were about picking their sacrifice, about choosing what it was that they would bring to the altar or to the temple. And in the Old Testament, they didn't just grab whatever, you know, whatever animal was just lying around, just kind of toss them up on the altar, and then, you know, "I'll be back next year." They were very intentional. They've got all this criteria about how they chose what the offering was and the sacrifice and how they picked. And it was a long process that they would do. Now, we don't sacrifice animals anymore, right? Amen. If you're visiting with us, that's not part of our growth track, okay? That's not just something we keep secret until you become a member. We don't do that anymore, right? But it's something we can learn from in the intentionality of it. It's something we can learn from in the way that they went about it. Because I want to call us, as we close this series, to live a life of intentionality. To be so careful about what we choose to sacrifice to our God, how we choose to do it, that it would be pleasing and acceptable to Him. So here's the challenge, though, as I was trying to kind of package all of that. And that is that all of us are in a different place, or a different level, if you will, when it comes to answering the call. Like we're all at a different place in our lives, a different place in our walk with Christ. Like some of you, maybe you just kind of wandered in this morning, or you're just kind of visiting and you're thinking, "Well, you know, what is all this? Like, I'm not tracking yet." All right. You're just kind of, you know, from a viewer perspective. Some of us, you've been here a little while, but you're not really into it. Right. You're just kind of let me see. Some of you have been here long. Some are so involved. Some of you have been here years. You're just kind of skeptical about it. I get that, by the way. I understand. That some of you just saying, "Well, you were so, you know, you went through seasons of your life where you're just so worn out." And you're just like, "Hey, can I just breathe for a while?" And I think, by the way, that we need to make room for that. You're just saying, well, hey, don't ask me to do anything. Just let me come back alive for a little while. And I get that. I understand that. I think we need to make room for that. But we're all at different levels, different stages, different places of being living stones, becoming those parts of the house. And so I thought I would package this final thought to you in the form of a challenge, taking into account those levels, if you will. All right. So just trying to give you what those levels are and then just giving you a challenge wherever you are in that. And the first one that I wanted us to kind of think through is do what I should do. Do what I should do. That some of us, the starting point for us is just starting making a difference. That maybe we've never thought about it before that our lives would affect someone else's life. We've never come to that realization that we are here to make a difference, that our lives should be affecting. So you say, well, I can't change the whole world. I'm not ready for that, but I just want to make a start. I just want to start to do something. And here's the thought I want you to grab on this point. How you start will determine what more you can do. How you start in this idea of the call, how you get started, how you do things now will determine what we do in our lives. That we need to be faithful in what we already have. There's a story in the Old Testament where the prophet goes to a woman and she asks for a blessing. And he asks her, he says, what do you have in your house? And then he blesses what was in her house. It was oil and wine. And he blesses that. He says, what do you have in your... And so this place, this level of answering the call, of becoming a living stone, what should I be doing? Because there is a baseline. There is a baseline of things that we should be doing. And you say, well, I haven't even started yet. And so but in the Christian walk, we have a standard there where the things we should. And for giving, it's the tithe. And some people say, well, that's just so archaic or so shifted. And I don't want to be stuck in that. And it seems so strict. And what is that all about? Honestly, for me, it's never been about a rule or a commandment or a law. I believe in 2 Corinthians when it says that each man determined in his heart what he wanted to give and gave freely. And so it's been the honor of my life to give back to the Lord what already belongs to Him in the first place. But for a lot of us, that's not it. That's not even kind of where we're at. For a lot of us, it's being faithful with where God has placed us. Being faithful with the people that God has put us around. Not seeing it as just a stepping stone to something else, but seeing our lives as living stones in the place that we've been placed. And so we be faithful with where God has placed us, where God has put us, and the people that He's put us around. Before we pray for God, send us the harvest. God, send us more and more. Be faithful with the ones He's put around you. What do you have in your house? What do you have around you? And so it's recognizing that God has placed you there for a reason. Not to get a paycheck or to get a degree or whatever it is. God has placed you there to make a difference in that place. God has put you there to make a difference. Doing what you should do determines what comes after. And the word that's kind of associated with that is just faithfulness. Being faithful with what God has already given to you. Let me give it to you in this illustration. A lot of you have got kids, right? They come to you and they say, you know, mom, dad, hey, can I go out to the movies or can I go out with my friends? I just want to go. And right, what do they add to it? Do you have 20 bucks, right? Or you have 30 bucks or 40 bucks, whatever it is now, right? Do you have, well, what's the truth about this? You are more inclined to say yes when they have what? Cleaned your room, right? Or made your bed or did whatever it was that I asked you to do. Then you'll say yes. Come on, parents, I'm trying to help you out this way. Let me give me a better amen, right? I'm trying to subtly help you out. You are more inclined to say yes to those things when they've already done what you've asked them to do. God is the same way. When He's asked us to be faithful in things, Luke chapter 16, Jesus said it this way, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And so He's saying, well, if I give you a little and you're already faithful with that, and then I can trust you with more. And He said, whoever is dishonest with very little, why am I going to give you more? If you already weren't doing what I asked you to do in the first place, we'll also be dishonest with much. Absolutely. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling, and it's very practical here, the Bible, Jesus is just practical. He says, if you're not faithful with worldly wealth, who's going to trust you with true riches? Why would I? And again, see it from your own perspective. Why would you give to somebody who wasn't faithful with the little you already gave? He wants things to take place on this planet. Jesus has a plan for the earth. He has things that He wants to happen, but He's looking for us to be faithful. And let me say this quickly before we move on. I was trying to think how I wanted to word this. That is, I don't think that many people in this room are at this level. And I don't say that to make you prideful. I don't say that with some hidden motive or anything like that. I've had a chance to spend a lot of time with you guys and just to see your heart and the way that you give of yourselves and your time and your talents and just to see the way that you minister and live out. And I want to honor you with that, church. I don't think that many of you are here. I think you guys have sold out for the call. I really do. And so if not this first step, if you don't find yourself there, and what is the next level? And that is to do what we could do. Do what I could do. Amen. And so we don't have to do it. That's not what this level is about. It's not we have to do this or that's the baseline or that's what's expected. It's going beyond that. It's saying, okay, I've done what I should do, but now what could I do? Not that I have to or there's some law, but what could I do to make a difference? Can I take it to another level? One of the greatest pleasures in my own life is knowing that what I did for the kingdom of God cost me something. That it wasn't just that baseline thing, that knowing what I did cost me something. Let me say it this way, you can't answer the call without it costing you something. Without it costing you something. And I'll give you some illustrations, right? I'm just making them as simple illustrations as I could come up with this morning. Some of you today, you'll have a chance to go out to eat after service. You have a chance to go to a restaurant or maybe sometime this week. And after you eat, right, there is a standard in our culture, different for different people, but there's a standard of tipping, right? And for some of you, it's different, right? Some of you, 20%, 15%. 10%, 5%, you misers, right? Just there is a standard, right? For tipping. It's whatever it is for you. And so there is that standard. But then from time to time, we feel called, right, to bless that person. To go above whatever it is that our standard is. And it's not every time. It's not every person. It's just sometimes God calls us, okay, to go above that. And so we bless that person. And so we give a little bit more. And so that, by the way, that's what represents to me the second level here. Where we had that standard, we have what we should do, and then we want to go above it. We just want to bless them. That's, by the way, why we have, and we do it, we like to push this around the holiday season. We do it all year long, but especially around this time, as we go into November and December, we've got these little cards that we want to give you. And so they're out there in the foyer right next to the sweet tea and the lemonade. There's just a little stand with these business-sized cards, and they just say something extra to show you that God loves you. I would encourage you this week, today, when you leave today, just grab handfuls of these. Man, put them in your car, put them in your purse, put them in your wallet, and then just go out there and just bless the socks off of somebody, right? Just go out there and bless them, but always tie it to something eternal. Always tie it to this thought that God loves you and so do we. Always tie it to an invitation to hear the gospel. Always tie those things, but when you go out, man, bless the socks off of them. That's what we're called to do as Christians, what the body of Christ does. And someone who says, I'm not satisfied at the baseline level, I want to do more. And hear me, you cannot do everything for everybody. I don't care how much money you have. I don't know if you think, well, I never heard that in church before. You cannot do everything for everybody. But never let the fact that you can't do everything for everybody keep you from doing something for somebody. Never get so discouraged. I can't do everything for everybody, so I'm not going to do anything at all. Because so many people fall into that trap. And so one person at a time, we're going to bless people. And it flies in the face of this phrase that I heard 1,000 times growing up. And I know you heard 1,000 times growing up. And when you heard it as a kid, it made you so mad to hear it, right? And you know what I'm talking about. Because now that you become an adult, you have started to say it too. Isn't it funny how that happens, right? When you become an adult. But it's this phrase that when you would go to the teacher and say, teacher, can I do such and such? They would say, well, if I let you do it, then I gotta let everybody do it. And you would go to the coach and say, coach, can I have that thing? And he would say, well, if I give you one, then I got to give everybody one. And you get home and say, well, mom, can I do such and such? And they would say, well, if I let you do such and such, then I got to let your brother and your sister do such and such. To which all of us would reply, right? No, you don't. Like there is no law that says you have to. You can do it just for me. And the problem is that we have let that come into our lives as adults. We let that seep into our spiritual lives. And because we can't reach or bless everyone, we don't reach or bless anyone. Andy Stanley had a fantastic writing on the sacrificial living of Christians. And I just want to quote it to you. Boil it down to one quote. And I wanted to quote it to you because I think it'll change your perspective like it's changed mine. And he said, do for the one what you wish you could do for everyone. Do for the one what you wish you could do for everyone. Do what I could do to make a difference. So do what I should do and then doing what I could do. We've got to ask ourselves, how do we sacrifice to make a difference? I want to encourage you with this verse in 2 Corinthians. Paul is talking, he says, I testify, and he's talking about a group of people. in the Corinthian church that he said they gave as much as they were able. So they gave that based on, and even beyond their ability, and entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded. So it wasn't Paul going to them. It was them coming to Paul saying, we urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And so they came to him and they said, we want to do more. We want to help. We want to share in the service. We want to do things. They're willing to do something. They said, we ought to do more. So what we should do and now what we could do. And I'm just saying, if you're convinced that the call is what you should be doing, if you're convinced the call is what we should be doing as Christians, that we can't just do what everybody else does. We can't just, at some point, there has to be more. There has to be another step. And by the way, I just wanted to take a moment and honor those who came out to Serve Day yesterday. Who came out and just gave up their Saturday morning. We had close to 100 people just went out just to love our community, love those around us, just serve other people. And I'm not belittling anyone else. If this isn't some underhanded, but where were you on Serve Day or what? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that those guys who came should receive honor. That I just want to honor their sacrifice. I want to honor what they did just to reach out to the community around us. Man, just to make a difference for the kingdom of Christ. Doing what we could do. Give you another example, just a simple way that I thought about it this morning. So on your seats this morning, we put these at the movies invite cards for the series next week. So next Sunday, we're going to do the modern day parable. So Jesus told stories and a bunch of people followed him. And so the modern day parable is just a movie. And so we bring movies that have redemptive qualities. We pick out different clips from them, from all these different movies. And then we just preach between the clips, the gospel. And so I would invite you guys to invite somebody. Just invite somebody with you. But here's what's going to happen when you invite somebody. They're going to say, well, you know, I can only make the third Sunday. And that was the Sunday that you wanted to sleep in, right? Not go to church. Now, come on, I know. I'm real here this morning, right? I understand. Like that was the Sunday you didn't. So you have a decision to make, right? Am I going to actually, you know, kind of get up and go to church on that Sunday that I was going to have off? Or I had that whatever. And so am I going to get in, come and sit next to them so they have somebody they feel comfortable sitting next to so they can hear the gospel of Jesus? Not that they can come and have a great time, we hope they do, but that they can hear the gospel. It always takes sacrifice, and I know I'm making simple analogies this morning, but hear me, to answer the call, it will always take a sacrifice, always cost you something. And it will not always be fun. It will not always be easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. If it was easy, the whole church would be answering that call, but it's not always easy. It's not always comfortable, but we're not building a wall, we're building a cathedral. We're not just laying bricks. We understand we are living stones in this house that God is building. We're building a place that people who are weary can come home. People who are broken can find healing. People who are lost can find Jesus. We're building something. And we are a part of that. And so you would think that would be the last level, but I got one more for you this morning. So what I should do, what I could do. And then here's the third level that I just want to end with a challenge. And that is doing what I would do. What I would do. And so maybe I don't even have it yet, or maybe it's just a dream in my mind, or maybe whatever it is. But Lord, if you ever would blank, then I would blank. If you ever would do this, then I would. This level is reserved for the dreamers. This level is reserved for those who have a dream, who want to do something so great in God. They're saying, God, if you ever would, we will. Say, God, if you would bless or if you would do this, just God-sized dreams that might, some of them might not ever happen. But I think God loves it when his children are just saying, God, if you would, we will. God, if you would bless, if you would give whatever you would entrust to me, I would do this. I would have this dream. So many of the great things that we do as a church, I was thinking back over this during Serve Day. So many of the things that we do as a church, they're not my ideas that I thought, well, we need to do this or we need to go and do that. They were just because somebody said, hey, what if we? It was not my idea to have an outreach into the prison systems. It wasn't even on my radar, but Donna Dearman said, hey, what if we? And went for it. It wasn't my idea. I wish I could say it was. It wasn't my idea to have an outreach into Big Oaks and the kids there and just have an awesome ministry to them, just leading them up to be leaders. It wasn't my idea. Mark and Jan Stuckey said, hey, what if we? God's put this on our heart. What if we? So many things in the kingdom of God have started because somebody, one of the living stones, just said, what if we? And so I just want to be one of those that God looks down and says, just looking at the living stone, just saying, I want to be one of those dreamers. That when God is ready to move, when he's ready to say, I'm ready to say, God, if you would, I would. If you will, we will. I want you to know God responds to that. God loves the hurting and the lost more than we do. I don't know if sometimes we just lose sight of that. He loves them more than, he's watching us with one eye, but he is focused on those who are hurting and lost. And he's just hoping one of his living stones will go. Amen. That one of his living stones will just reach out. That's what he's hoping for. He's looking for us to dream big dreams. We talked about this in week two. Faith-sized dreams. So we just attach to a God who can do abundantly more. And you have to realize he has all the blessing. He has all the money. He has all the resources. He has everything to accomplish it. But who would you give it to if you were God? I'm going to tell you who I would give it to. I'd give it to the ones who are going to make a difference with it. The ones who are ready to make a difference with it. And that's why this verse makes sense in 2 Corinthians. It says, now he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. He'll also supply. So he gives seed to the sower. So he has seed. He has things that need to be planted for the harvest to come. And he'll give bread. He'll increase the store of your seed, your righteousness, the harvest of it. And Jesus said, actually, one time he said that to him who has and is prospering, to him will be given more. But to him who is not doing anything with it, even what he's got will be taken from him. It's just a fact. I didn't write the verse, right? It's a hard verse. Jesus said it, right? You can take it up with him. It's a hard verse that he said, but I just want to pray every day. God, if you ever, we will. I want to be faithful with what you've given me already, what I should do. I want to go above that and sacrifice what I could do. But then I'm always going to have that dream of God. What would I do? If you would, we will. Just pray every day. God, you blessed us. Bless us more. God, we'll do everything we can to be faithful to it. And the key word with this one is faith. If it was faithfulness, what we should do, if it was sacrifice, what we could do, then with what we would do, it's just faith. Got to be people of faith. And you know what faith is. Faith, right? It's evidence. Things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for. You have some hope. You got a dream, right? Who has a dream? Hey, if you would give me, some of you, you've let that dream kind of pass you by, or you, at one time it was strong in your life and you said, well, I want to, but you know, I've got other things, but what kind of dreams? We got to become dreamers. Generously. And so just two verses to bless you before we go today. First one out of Psalms, and it says, those who've answered the call, those who have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. Let that be said of us. And then finally, this is Paul writing to Timothy, and he says, command them. And I took this just as a personal mandate during this series, command them. Because he's writing to a guy who's about to go stand in front of a group of Christians and just talk to them and read this letter. And so with this series, just command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. And so I'm commanding you, Victory, do good. Be rich in good deeds. Be generous, willing to share. In this way, you'll lay up treasure for yourselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that you can take hold of life that is truly life. That is your call series. Take hold of life that is truly life. Store up treasures in heaven. Begin to live a life worthy of the call. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. Just bow with prayer. Just every head bowed, every eye closed. I know I say it every week, but do it with me this morning. Eternal lives hang in the balance. We don't rush through this part of the service because this is the most important part of the service. And so let me just break life down into two things for you. As you bow your head, let me just break it down into two things. If you've never had a relationship with Jesus, then life is really just about one thing. And that is having a relationship with him. You can't reach any of these levels till you've found God. And so this morning, we just want to give you that opportunity. For those of you that already know Jesus, then your life is all about making a difference for the kingdom of God. Not all do good is the same. Not all goodness and acts of kindness are the same, right? You always attach it with eternity. Your job, as your call, is to always tie everything that you do with eternity. So we're challenged to do things that matter on that side in our lives. But some of you are here today and you've not settled, though, that first important part of your journey. That is having a relationship with Jesus. Hear me carefully this morning. Only Jesus can save you. I know as we've gone through the theology of this series and we've gone through these weeks, we've talked about doing things for the kingdom of God, but none of that can save you. And so I never want to have any ambiguity around that. Only a relationship with Jesus, accepting what he did on the cross, letting him wash you clean. That's the only way. And some of you haven't settled that. You haven't come to a relationship with him. You haven't found God. And so I just want to give you that opportunity this morning. It will be the easiest thing that you've ever done, but it will cost you everything. Because it's accepting what Jesus did. It's submitting your life to Him. It's saying, okay, you're in control of my life. You're the one that I give everything to. And so I want to give you that prayer this morning to make Him Lord. So if you're here in this room today, you're watching online, wherever you are, I want to give you that chance to make that decision. Some of you say, well, I was close to God at some point in my life. I was close to Him, but I've walked away and I feel a million miles away from God. I feel like He is just so far away from me. I would just encourage you this morning, come home. Not that you join a church or that you do whatever, just come home. Let today be the day that you decided, I'm going to come home. Let today be the day that you decided, I want that. I want that relationship with Jesus. I've let it fall away. I've walked away, but I want to come back. I don't know if you've never heard it before. He's not mad at you. God's not mad at you. He's not waiting to judge you. He just wants to rescue you. Jesus is waiting to rescue you. So I want to just pray with you this morning. Those who have never made that decision and those who say, I just want to come back. Nobody's looking around. It's not about the person next to you. This is about you and Jesus this morning. So we're going to give you just a simple prayer to prayer. If you want to pray that prayer, I'm going to give you the words. You got to mean it in your heart. Nobody else is looking around, but do me that favor this morning. If that's you, make your decision. Not that you're manipulated into it, just make your decision. Be bold about it. I'm not going to make you come to the front. I'm not going to make you stand up. But just do me a favor this morning. If that's you, you say, hey, include me in that prayer. Would you do me the favor and just raise your hand this morning? If you want to be included in that prayer, thank you. Thank you in the back. Thank you. Guys, we're not rushing through this. You say, I want to come home. Would you just raise your hand this morning? Just lift it high. Thank you. Thank you. That's you this morning. Just lift it high. If you want to join those five. All right, thank you. Guys, we're going to pray this morning. If I didn't see your hand, heaven saw it. If you want to pray that prayer, and here's what we're going to do. With those six of you that raised your hands, here's what we're going to do as a church. We're going to pray this prayer out loud with you. And just pray this prayer and mean it with your heart. Come on, church, let's pray it with them. Just say, Jesus, save me. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, change me. Come live inside of me. I give you my life. Make me a brand new person. Say these words, be the Lord of my life. And with everything inside of me, I'm going to serve you in Jesus' name. Lord, I celebrate this decision, God, with those who just made that. God, we celebrate with them that that's why this church exists. Lord, that for we would live for you, God. We would be living stones. God, that we would be building something, but not just building, God, we'd be a part of the house. That we would live our lives worthy of the call. God, in everything that we do, that we would see those who are lost, we would see those who are broken. God, that we would want to reach them. God, that with everything we do, we live for you. Just make us, God, worthy of the calling we have received. And let us live our lives this week and for the rest of our lives, God, worthy of you and your house, God, that we're building. We praise you. We thank you this morning, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, church. Can we just celebrate what God has done this morning?